AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Jeff Stein going to be joining us here in just a little bit. Brett, how much time have you spent up in northern Minnesota, kind of the smaller towns up there?
Not for a while, since my grandparents sold their cabin, unfortunately. Oh. They were up on Lake Mille Lacs.
Oh, okay.
That's up north, I guess.
Well, not, you know, come on. That's not exactly heading way up north.
Yeah.
Although, Mille Lacs is one of my favorite lakes, period. I mean, it's when they actually had walleyes in the thing. It was one of the best fishing lakes you could find. But guess what happens when you have a lot of people putting lines in the water? If you go into a small town on the Iron Range, And I specifically, and this is nothing against other parts, rural parts of the state, because I have been, trust me, on all parts of them. When you're looking at 12, 13, 20, 25 miles between towns up there, the local grocery store becomes a source of pride. Now, for most people in the metro area, going to a Zups, Z-U-P-S, Zups, would be, you know, like a glorified gas station store. As a matter of fact, I've seen gas stations that have bigger grocery selections than Zups would. But for these Iron Range towns, that local grocery store is basically, you know, it's validity. You know, we have a town, we have a grocery store. I don't have to drive 20 miles to the nearest community. I'll give you a great example of this. There's a town called McKinley up there. Now, McKinley at one point was a little bit of a raucous little town until one of the mines expanded and they had to shift the highway that runs out of Virginia towards Gilbert. That has shifted that south. They originally went right through McKinley, and now they go about a mile south of McKinley. McKinley doesn't really have anything in it anymore. I mean, it's actually one of the kind of creepier places you can go. It just, you know, there's a bar there. I don't even think there's a church in that town. There's a church out by the highway, but not, I don't think, in McKinley. But yet, if you go to Bowabic, which is just down the road there, Bowabic has got a local little grocery store, and they've got a little place there, and it's a cute little thriving town. There is a definitive difference up there. That is why it is very hard to hear about the Cook Zups burning down. Did you see that story?
Yeah, that is tough for small towns. Even I've lived in small towns in other states for other jobs, and yeah, that is their pride. You're exactly right.
You know, we talked about this a little bit with the Ashby Co-op story yesterday. I mean, you are in a small town. You have a co-op. You have a grocery store. You have some churches, and of course, it's Minnesota, so you have a bar or two. But the reality is, there was years ago. Now, and by the way, I've been in the Cook Zups. I have. That's just actually. It's about midway point for my cabin to either go into Virginia or go up to Cook, and I can do either one. And so I've gone to Cook quite a few times. And so this is, and I know that town's going to be hurting. That town's going to be hurting because of this. I was in a Target store, the Target in Virginia, and we here don't think that there's stuff like this in the state anymore because, you know, I have right now within 2 miles of me, how many store options? You know, 1,000, really? You know, I go to Southdale, I go to Eden Prairie Center, I can go up to Ridgedale, I've got so many, and all the stores, all the box stores in between. This woman was very frustrated because she was supposed to get a discount on an item, and she didn't bring the right coupon, and she was from Crane Lake, and so it was an hour and a half drive for them to get down there, or an hour plus drive to get down from Crane Lake to Virginia. So this was a major inconvenience if she could not use this coupon. And so it's, you know, we get lucky here, and I think that I read the story about what happened in Cook, and I'm really kind of bothered by that, and I'm hoping that they do rebuild, but who in this day and age, what insurance company is going to allow a small town grocery store to rebuild?
That's what I was just going to say, what kind of insurance, but that's a good point. Yeah, why would the insurance company want to help out with that?
Yeah, they're insured. I mean, you're a business. You have to have insurance.
Yeah.
So you're going to have some, but the question is whether or not the insurance company, I mean, there was, there was, A funny story. I'm not going to say where this was. There was a strip mall I have that basically was putting in just cheap tenants. Basically, people that wanted to open up their own store, but they really didn't have a really good business plan or anything like that. So they had a fireworks store in there, and these guys set the place on fire with the fireworks. They set the whole building on fire. The insurance company came back and said, "We'll rebuild this, but if you start, you know," and they came in and they very much held the owner's hand and said, "We're going to get some good tenants. We are not going to tolerate you basically putting this clown car in this place." And so there is some pressure that they can apply it to businesses on some levels. Depends on the company, depends on the situation. But yeah, that the thought that it's all of a sudden you're in northern Minnesota and it's now a 20-minute drive to Virginia to the nearest, you know, major store. That's a big hassle. And so all my best to the people up there, and all my best to the people, I mean, obviously the people that own the store and the people that work at the store, but you know, the community there, that's a bit of the identification that's been rubbed away, and hopefully they will be able to recover from that. The other local story of kind of, what? You're doing what again? It's the time of year where some companies, they're very nice. They go on out there and they'll give employees a gift. There's a company in Wisconsin, and they produce novelty glassware. It's called Ben Shot. They make a bulletproof drinking glass. Shot glass. They make a bulletproof shot glass.
Why?
Stupidity would be my first thing.
So I got bullets flying at me. I'm going to grab the shot glass.
Yeah, and I'll hide behind that. Matrix yeah.
style.
Yeah, exactly. Dear Lord. Well, it's for gun nuts, gun kooks. This is in Hortonville, Wisconsin. Of course it's Wisconsin. Of course. I was reading about the Bonnaroo High School class of you know, Mein Fuhrer that is going to that did the Nazi salute. Of course, it's Wisconsin.
They're doing a little better. They at least elected Evers now instead of Walker.
They did, but they've already have they officially stripped him of all the governor's powers they can. Jeez, it's Wisconsin. Ben Shot makes bulletproof drinking glass products, including whiskey glasses, beer mugs, and decanters with bullets embedded in the glass. Because nothing is better than weaponry and alcohol. Boy, that's a grand combination. The father-son company based in Hortonville has 16 full-time employees. Guess what the Christmas gift is this year? He's giving everyone that works there a handgun. He's giving everyone that works there a handgun.
Is that actually legal to do?
You have to. Well, no, he's not like, you know, got a like a, hey, pick one out of the basket. You know, no, he gives them a voucher.
Okay.
They go to the local gun store. They have to pass the background check and everything like that. But this is what they're doing. Because, I mean, that's, you know, if I'm thinking of Jesus, you know, it's, you know, those three kings, then when they came to the manger, I mean, they winged a few people on the way. They had to. I mean, that was a rough neighborhood. In Bethlehem, they had to take a few people down, and because that's Jesus, you know. If you want to put the Christ back into Christmas, how about you go after these clowns? How about that? Instead of going out there and saying my coffee cup doesn't say bow down to Jesus on it, they hate Christmas. Why don't you go with the guy that's trying to arm everyone under the auspices of holiday cheer? How about that? Because that doesn't seem like putting Christ back into Christmas over there. I don't know. I don't remember the entire book of armaments in the Bible. Dear Lord. It's just... And you wonder why... And there is that Bonnaroo story. The story of the high school... The junior class at the junior prom. The photographer apparently tells the kids... Well, he's saying, I told them to raise their hand in the air. He told them to do the Nazi salute. Because if you told them to raise their hand in the air, a few of those kids would not be doing a Nazi salute. The kids in the class were doing a Nazi salute. And by the sounds of it, there's a whole bunch of kids at that school who really are big fans of Adolf's. I've been reading about this. Apparently, that's a problem in that school, is a lot of Nazi kids. Lots of Nazi kids in Bonnaroo, Wisconsin. Lots and lots of Nazi kids in Bonnaroo. And so whether the photographer got the idea of it or he was asked by the kids to do it, it doesn't matter. They did the Nazi salute. A Nazi salute for the high school. How about that? Can we put, you want to put Christ back into Christmas? How about you go condemn them? I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't on their side either. Pretty sure. Dear Lord, this country is just falling off the edge, isn't it? It just absolutely is falling off the edge. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The new governor-elect got a visitor.
That's right.
I can't do Jesse anymore.
That was more Randy Savage right there.
Randy Savage. Matt does wrestling impressions here.
It's Jesse. That's it. There it is. Jesse.
A little better now.
Thank you.
Tim Walls got a visit from Jesse Ventura. I'm presuming delivering pizzas. No, he actually stopped on by to say hi and pressed the incoming Minnesota governor, to get moving forward on full-scale marijuana legalization. Walls, who was elected last week, is seeking advice from those who have held the job before him. So far, he's met with four of five, including a nearly hour-long private sit-down with Ventura at the state capitol. Ventura shared some details of what he'd like Walls talked about, from balancing family life to Ventura's past gripe that the First Lady isn't paid to his desire to see Minnesota embrace legal marijuana. So, I actually am with Jesse on this one. Can I ask the question, why are we even, what's holding us back now? Puritan pride? What? How many years ago was it that the first state, wasn't it Colorado was the first state to legalize marijuana? How many years ago was that? 6 years ago? Six, something like that? And in that time, I mean, the people that were against this idea were all screaming the same exact thing. If you do it, drug gangs are going to be controlling the streets, and everyone's going to be high as a kite, and nothing's going to get done. No one cares. No one cares. It's basically less, behavioral changing than alcohol is. And guess what you did? The minute you made it legal, is all of a sudden all those gangs that you promised were going to overrun your towns, well, they're out of business, or they're legit business now. Instead of hiding out in alleys, they've got a storefront. and they're members of the Better Business Bureau. I mean, it's a change. We in Minnesota, and trust me, I understand. This is the same state that, we had no Sunday liquor sales for years. And I can see people in the state saying, I am not going to allow this to happen. Not on my watch. But what are we doing at this point? It's where it's legal, it makes an insane amount of taxpayer dollars. It is less mind-altering than alcohol. And if you're going to sell alcohol, and let's just face it, alcohol changes people fairly quickly. I have yet to see the violent dope smoker, the guy he's on the bong and then all of a sudden comes out with haymakers. I've not seen that. I've seen drunk guy do that. Oh, I've seen drunk guy do that a lot. But I've not seen pothead guy, marijuana smoking guy. I have yet to see him come on out saying, you want to fight, man? Give me those Doritos back or I'm going to drop you. That's actually a pretty good fighting dope head. Which, by the way, whichever college takes that as your new mascot, you're welcome. There you go, the fighting dope heads. I can't see a reason why. Now, okay, I do not smoke dope. I haven't smoked dope. I thought about this before I came into the show today. It's been decades since I smoked marijuana. I've got kids. Trust me, I'm busy. But I have been to states where they sell it. I've read the financials on this stuff. The financials, millions and millions and millions of dollars of brand new tax revenue. Think about a project. Schools, think about roads, think about bridges. And let people who want to partake in this legally pay for it. Ta-da! You know, I just, at what point is Minnesota going to kind of get the stick out of its backside and kind of realize maybe we should just go along with the rest of these states? Because right now, I'm not seeing where there's the massive downside. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. I'll get Robert's call. And reminder, Stein's going to join us a little bit later on to talk national news. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Gas pedal, gas pedal. Push it, push it. This is never settled.
This is my theme song. Hard as the turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. Rudy Luther needs to clear their inventory of fantastic 2018 Toyotas before the end of the year. Come see the popular and cool 2018 Camry with 0.9% financing to well-qualified buyers. And Rudy Luther is a top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealer in the country. The reason why? A second to none reconditioning process, great selection, and the best prices. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trust Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available. Little
Jackie Paper. Oh, yes. Loved that rascal pup. And people used to rail against this song. And other fancy stuff. Oh, the magic dragon. It's like railing against the Goofy Goober song from SpongeBob, you know? I really am kind of the mindset of there. If your argument is an antiquated 1940s to 1980s, pot is bad. Only dope smoke dope. You can't do math with meth. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. Wow. You can. Yeah, I don't. There's a whole
That's
bunch
the new
of
slogan.
Yeah, Nancy Reagan.
If Sessions was still in there, he'd be going with that.
Oh, Dobby's got his sock. He's off on his own now. But no, it's if your argument is whatever the reason. I think we just had a little science experiment. What would happen if we took a United States and one that has a lot of population, Colorado, and we made dope legal? Nothing much, pretty much the same as it was before, and they've got a heck of a lot more tax revenue. Okay. The entire country of Canada has made it legal. How many states? Is it 24 states are legal now? I mean, at what point are we just going to sit there and are we going to be 60 years down the road? It's like, we're never going to stop it because all the rest of these states are wrong. It is evil. I mean, if you're going to ban and not allow legal marijuana, you should probably make alcohol illegal too. And I'm dead serious. I mean, if that's your standard, because I can tell you right now, alcohol changes your mentality a heck of a lot more than marijuana does. And there's the medicinal elements of it. There's the industrial elements of hemp. I think at this point we're on the wrong side of this. We need to actually change. Robert's in Columbia Heights. Been kind enough to hold. Welcome on in, Robert.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I just wanted to relate my personal experience. I'm currently in my 60s. Back in the 70s, when I was in my 20s, I was hit by three drunk drivers, not all at the same time, thankfully, and to survive. Broken ribs twice. I have never been hit by somebody who was stoned.
They have tried to make it seem like, Robert, I'm going to get your thoughts on this. They've tried to make it seem like that sometimes like a train will crash or there'll be an industrial accident and they'll say, oh, well, the guy was smoking dope. That doesn't seem to equate. And usually there's other drugs involved when they have cases like this. You're exactly right. I mean, considering the epidemic of drinking and driving, and there is nothing comparable to smoking dope and driving that happens anywhere on that same comparable level. I'm not saying that there aren't some people that smoke dope and drink and then get into trouble. That's a different situation. But if you're just comparing people who are drunk and driving and people who are smoking dope and driving, they're generally not the same thing. And I think that at this point, these antiquated ideas that keep marijuana illegal, I think we've proven the point that they're not true.
I totally agree. I say legalize it, tax it, and move on.
What would you do with the tax money? Just really quick, Robert, if we could tax it, I mean, say we made $50 million to $100 million every 3 months off of legalized marijuana sales in Minnesota, what would you do with that money?
That's a good question. Obviously, there's so many areas it could be applied to. Education, fixing roads and bridges, you know, pick one.
Senior medical care. How about that one?
That'd be great.
That would be great. Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call, and I'm glad you survived the being hit by drinking drivers. No, how about that? Sell marijuana, make taxpayer dollars, and then use that money to supplement the senior medical business in the state. So make sure the elderly have health care or the elderly have transportation. How about that one? That would be a pretty good one too. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. With Ventura going over to talk to Walls about this and with us talking to Noah, Noah Johnson, who was running for the attorney general's position under the legalized marijuana party. And, you know, he basically said that Keith Ellison's on board with their party. Well, at this point, if there's someone out there who is really absolutely against this, then you need to make your case, because right now in the petri dishes that are these other states which are legalized marijuana, well, they don't seem to be having nearly the problems that we'd always been threatened with having. And if you think about our ag sector, and don't get me wrong, I understand the growing of this, the packaging of this, the transportation of this, and the dispensing of it, you got to be careful with it. I completely get that. I'm 100% on board with that. But when you look at industrialized hemp products that we could all of a sudden bring in to Minnesota, when you're looking at a president who is shutting down markets for our farmers, expanding out a new agricultural base for the state, that would seem to me to be a pretty darn good idea. Todd is in Ramsey. I'm going to try to burn these calls really quick because we got Stein coming in. Todd's in Ramsey. Welcome on in, Todd.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, you and I, we've talked before. You and I don't often disagree, but I think we may this time. I'm not opposed to the legalization. Certainly with alcohol as prevalent as it is and the tax revenue we get from that, I don't think that pot is any different. But I think it's naive for us to imagine there won't be consequences. I think when you were talking just a moment ago about driving, and even though we may think that drunken driving contributes to more accidents, to say that a person's reaction times aren't affected by smoking pot when they're driving, I think that would be incorrect. I'm not opposed to it, but I just don't want us to think there won't be consequences.
Now, Todd, and there have been studies done in the states where they have legalized this. And there once again, if you're talking about people that are consuming pot and alcohol at the same time, that's one thing. But if you're talking about people that, and by the way, if you could turn your radio down, Todd, that would be a good idea. If you're talking about people that smoke marijuana solely, they haven't seen a marked increase in traffic accidents and traffic deaths due to this. This is not something that has equated. I mean, that was always one of the arguments is, oh, we're going to see much more traffic problems because we're going to have legalized dope. That has not transpired in these states where there has been legal marijuana.
Well, I've not seen that data, and I won't argue with you, but maybe it's the simple fact that people don't drive from like drunks might drive from bar to bar drinking and get in accidents along the way, and I guess maybe pot smokers stay at home. I was in the 70s and 80s, Matt, and I know my mind and reactions were not as quick as they were without it.
Todd, thank you very much. Is there a mood-altering quality to it? Of course there is. It's one of the reasons why it's popular. It does not seem to be anything like alcohol, where the consumption of alcohol clearly diminishes your ability to function within society and drive a car. They have just not seen, I mean, this was one of the big arguments. Don't legalize it. One of the big arguments was, you legalize it, you're going to have car crashes everywhere. That has not materialized. And there's been a negligible increase. And once again, when you're talking about people that are smoking dope and drinking, that's different. But people that are just smoking dope, they have not seen a massive increase in accidents caused by people who are high on dope. They have not. Gary is in Minneapolis. Really quick, Gary, you'll get a final word in. Go ahead.
Yeah, we tried illegal alcohol. It got three worse problems. We had the Al Capones, and now we have illegal marijuana, and we got cartels. And we're busting all these pot smokers when the cops should be doing their real work, violent crime and things like that.
Well, Gary, thank you very much. Now, and there's the other element of it, too. You have violent gangs that are trying to control the dope trade in places where it's illegal. Where it's not, it's a mom-and-pop business, and they're selling the product on legally and dispensing it legally and selling out of it. My God, did you see Canada? The entire country of Canada sold out of dope in like a day. The entire country. And have you been up there? Let's face it, dope and flapjacks, man. That's if you got those munchies, little flapjacks, little Tim Hortons donuts, nothing wrong with that.
Might hurt their hockey skills a little bit.
I don't know if that will or not. Actually, if you want to, considering how many pro athletes have smoked dope in this country, I don't know if that really does or not. We'll have to see. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Jeff's done when we do come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's idealist is Johnny Cash. Yes, that Johnny Cash, who became a fierce advocate for prison reform as a result of performing in dozens of prisons. Then, the big interview is with Tonin O'Connor, a Buddhist priest who has been going into Wisconsin prisons to help confined humans believe in compassion for self and for others. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018, it's time to get yourself an amazing gift, a new vehicle from Rudy Luther. Through November, get a $3,000 rebate on the Toyota Tundra pickup or $3,500 on my personal favorite, the family-friendly Sienna. Plus, check out that great selection of 2018 Tacoma pickups in stock. And the best part of Rudy Luther is the long-term relationship you'll have with their wonderful people. November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Great Wall, 45th and France in Edina. Fantastic place. Try the Mushu pork, the Chinese pancakes. Their soups are sensational. And it has been a little cool out there. If you're looking for a nice meal in the evening for you to warm up with, the soups they have there are just top-notch. Once again, 45th and France in Edina. It's Great Wall. It is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Any sign of Stein yet?
Not yet.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for Jeff Reese when he had Jeffrey McGillicuddy Stein when he does join us here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Don't get me wrong, and I do understand the fear that not knowing does put forward when it comes to this, the marijuana. But like I said, the problem that you have, if you're one of these anti-marijuana people, the problem that you have is there are so many places where it's legalized and it is not, that state's not fallen off a cliff. It's not like everyone's high school test scores have dropped 20 points, that no one is showing up for work. I mean, those beliefs just were proven to not be true, and you have not seen a dramatic increase in people smoking dope solely getting into car crashes. That just is not the case. So when Ventura goes over and talks to Walls, I mean, at this point, I'm like, okay, why are we basically not doing it at this point? I mean, we have enough problems in the state that we need to fix that we could sure use the tax revenue. And yeah, I don't know why we're not going down that road. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. Make perfect stocking stuffers, by the way. TotallyIowa.com, iowawatch.org is the public service show that he's part of. And of course, KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo is where he works and of course does the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Big stocking. You're going to need a big stocking.
Lots of books.
Yeah. most of the books are like 9x12. I mean, they're good, anchor your coffee table type books. So you're going to need a big old stocking.
Well, and look forward to it. At some point, Jeff Stein's going to have the Matt McNeil collection, my years in Iowa broadcasting at KDAO and, of course, Hot 105 KCCQ down there. So and 1430 KASI. Love to tell that story.
You know, when I get up before a group of people, as I do, and I say, let's talk about Iowa broadcasting history, and they kind of look like, oh, history, it's going to be boring. And then I say, let's start with Matt McNeil. And they lean forward in their chairs, they're bright-eyed, and it's a fun evening for all.
Well, that's because of food poisoning. But still, it is what it is. Wide eyes, leaning forward, and a fun evening for all. Speaking of wide-eyed, let's revisit the election a little bit, can we?
Why not? It's only been a week.
It's because I'm really at this point. Okay, once again, the Republicans hung their hat on the fact that they were making major pickups from the Democrats in the Senate, that even though the House was gone, that it could have been much, much worse. I mean, at that point, I think we were looking at 220, 222 seats in the House were Democrat. And mm-hmm. and the Senate was the Democrats had lost Indiana, they'd lost Missouri, they'd lost North Dakota. But now we are looking at the Democrats probably going to have 231 seats in the House, which is a pretty good margin ahead of the Republicans. I mean, I think it's looking better and better, including, once again, Mia Love. Looks like she got knocked off down in Utah. As the one guy in California said, the GOP is dead in California because they've lost most of their major seats they had out there. The state of Reagan has rejected his party. But then on top of that, you look at the Senate, Nevada was a pickup for the Dems. Arizona, a shocker of a pickup for the Dems. And if Ben Nelson wins that recount in Florida, yeah, the Republicans picked up one seat, but the reality is I think that at the end of the day, the Republicans are still in the same exact mess they were in the last 2 years, which is their margins of error are very, very limited.
There is no way you could spin this for the Republicans in a positive way, except how they tried, as you mentioned, on election night, as we mentioned last week, where they were saying, oh, great gains in the U.S. Senate. Okay, we lost the House, but it's no big deal. Well, first of all, losing the House was a huge deal.
Yes.
And second, the majority that the GOP will have in the Senate may be 51-49. Literally, that's what it's looking like right now. They have confirmed no more than 51. So let's say that Rick Scott does win in Florida, then it's 52. I don't think the Mississippi race is going to go well. That's the other one that's outstanding. There's a runoff coming up later this month. So the bottom line is, if the best you could do is say, well, we've increased our numbers in the Senate, and if at best all you did was increase them by one, or there's no change, I don't know how you spin that as a win. And to your point, it's not just that Nancy Pelosi is going to be speaker over a thin majority. The number keeps growing and growing and growing. It's not 1974 post-Watergate levels, but heavens, that would be a bar you wouldn't expect anyone to have. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the Republicans even tried to spin this as, well, you know, it's not quite so bad, it's bad. It is flat out bad. And there is no way for them to spin it. Look what happened for the minority leader race. The Freedom Caucus went down to flames. Jim Jordan couldn't pull that off. So it's the stuff that just lost, they're going to stick with. They're doubling down. So I don't see how they expect to recover at any point.
It is also very interesting if you look. I mean, granted, Cruz beat Beto O'Rourke in Texas, but it was a very close race. And there are other races in Texas that did go for the Democrats. If Arizona, this is what we've been talking about for the last 10 or so years, that the demographics of those two states particularly are starting to really wear against the Republicans. And the question, and I was reading a wonderful article about Arizona, is the question is, will Republicans be able to really bank on Arizona as a winnable state on statewide races from here on out? And the feeling is, if the Democrats are smart, they run moderate candidates, they should be able to start picking up Arizona fairly regularly. I would also not put it past O'Rourke, if he runs again for Senate in 2 years, that he could actually win Texas easily at that point.
Well, and you made a comment a minute ago about in California, the party of Reagan rejected him. I'm not sure this Republican Party is the party of Reagan.
No, not at all.
You know, I understood your point. You were making a rhetorical point, which was accurate. But I think that is the underpinning of what the issue is. This is not the party of Ronald Reagan. This is a party of Donald Trump. And there's a great deal of difference between the two. And I don't think we need to go into great detail about it. I don't recall a lot of Reagan associates confessing on, was it YouTube, Jerome Corsi saying, you know, I think I'm going to be indicted for lying. Well, why would you think that? Maybe because you were lying. I mean, it's just ludicrous, the whole thing. And it's interesting that the president is handling this by a bit of pivoting already. I believe right at this very moment, he's talking about sentencing reform, that he's going to sign on to a project that has had bipartisan support. Dick Durbin from Illinois, the Democrat, Chuck Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, have been trying to do sentencing reform for a long time. And Jared Kushner likes the idea. So all of a sudden now Trump likes it because Jeff Sessions is no longer blocking it. I don't know how to read that other than a thought of saying, okay, this is what I got here. I got Republicans over here, Democrats over here. I'm really neither. I just got elected. And so who knows what this is going to be, but this is almost the first overture that could tell us an awful lot going forward.
I'm going to read this. Sarah Westwood put this tweet out. President Trump accuses people of changing their clothes and returning to cast additional ballots in disguise. There's no evidence of this. Quote, sometimes they go to their car, put on a different hat, put on a different shirt, come in and vote again.
Sure they do.
He's still in Florida. I mean, and Florida is Florida. But in Florida, there is this really interesting dance that they're trying to do where they want to have a second Brooks Brothers riot and basically try to force these recounts to shut down. The reality is that they're in case they lose, they're just throwing anything at the wall at this point to try to discredit this entire process.
Well, it's easy pickings because Florida has all sorts of things wrong with it, and it doesn't mean there's going to be an inappropriate outcome of an election. It doesn't mean anybody's stealing things, but I'm sorry, that thing's a mess.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think anybody on either side ought to say otherwise. Now, you may think it's less of a mess if you wind up winning as opposed to losing, but this ain't any way to run a railroad. And so I'd love to just be able to say, well, it's Florida. Who cares? It's like the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he sawed it off and pushed it out to sea. Go look for that on YouTube. It's a great image.
Yes, literally. It is. It is, actually. I know which one you're talking about.
Thank you for playing along. And I have thought that since 2000. Just push them out to sea. But the problem is they elect presidents. You know, their votes count for president. Their votes count for U.S. senators. So I'd like them to be a little more squared away so that there's some sense of legitimacy, but apparently not so much. But the problem is, this is one of these things. They hand it to Trump where he can say, oh, look at that. People are putting on, fake mustaches and voting a second time. And the problem is the people running the thing in Florida are so out of control. There are enough people who will look and go, well, that wouldn't surprise me. And it gives him just enough air of credibility that people then go and retweet that stuff.
For anyone who's going to criticize Jeff on this, he's exactly right. I mean, it was 2000 we had this ballot disaster. I was dumbfounded to find out that, once again, local officials design these ballots, that it's not a statewide ballot. Here's the ballot. There you go. Here's the format. Here's this. That they're designing these things like they're handbags. And lo and behold, as multiple people have said, there are multiple jurisdictions where it was very confusing on who you were supposed to vote for. It wasn't a direct line. The fact that they, 18 years after the greatest debacle ever in balloting in Gore v. Bush, the fact that they still have local officials, and I don't care what part they're from, thinking that they're going to do designer ballots, Florida is just its own freaking place.
And I appreciate the comment because of the fact that this has nothing to do with who's winning or losing or Republicans or Democrats or anything. There is no way anybody in Florida has confidence about the election. You need to have confidence in how it is run, how the ballots are designed, how they are counted. Rules need to be followed. And the time to make those changes is not in a quick reaction to, oh my gosh, something went bad, so now we have to hurry and change something. It's been since 2000.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's be very clear about something, because there are a number of people who say, not inappropriately, well, why don't we have national standards? We don't have national standards because we don't have national elections. We vote state by state, and that leads to electoral college for president. We vote state by state, and that is how we elect our representatives to Congress. For a very long time, state legislatures, not the general public, state legislatures selected members of the U.S. Senate in some states. They were not popularly elected. So each state has its own manner of doing things. However, your state needs to get its act together in order for any of this democracy thing to work. And the fact that they have these wide open rules and no, as we call it in the law, chain of custody with regard to ballots, I don't know if that story about the rental car, the trunk of the rental car, is true or not. Okay? I'm not about to say that it is, But holy cow, if there's any truth to the fact that somebody returns the – what's the first thing you do when you return a rental car? You check to see if you left anything in it, and we don't just mean the glove compartment.
Well, no, and how about the congressman down there trying to force his way past police because they are looking so desperately for that moment where they can bang a shoe on a counter again? I'm like, you guys, you're hopeless. I feel as if we sent the Secretary of State of Minnesota, Steve Simon, who's a great Secretary of State, just won re-election, and probably the most competent Secretary of State I've ever seen in my life. If we sent him down there, that he'd come back some kind of feral man, you know, it would destroy him, because I think Florida is just such a messed up place.
He'd be sitting in the corner in a crouch rocking, right? Yes. I did something similar where, you know, I heard all of this over the weekend. And so I contacted the Iowa Secretary of State, who's actually been in office at two different times in history. Ran for governor in between, didn't win, and then ultimately came back. His name is Paul Pate, and he happens to be a Republican. I say happens to be because it's not important for what I'm saying. I said, could this happen here? And he laid out all of the reasons why that kind of circus could not happen here, just as you have described how it could not happen in Minnesota, because of the way that they handle things. But you need an administrator over things. And you need to follow whatever laws are there. And it just seems to be the Wild West, despite the fact that it's the Southeast.
It is Minnesota, Iowa, top five, I believe, top five in the nation in vote counting, the amount of people that went out and voted last election. So, you know, we're doing things right up here, at least. That's the good part. Let's take a break. When we do come back, I got to talk about the imploding Trump and the fact that the guy still cannot honor the troops correctly. Unbelievable. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. 952-946-6205.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Looking to offer high-end restaurant quality food at your next event? Look no further than D'Amico Catering. Their talented team of event planners and chefs will collaborate to perfect a menu that best fits your needs. Whether emphasizing local cuisine or ethnic flavors, organic bites or summertime favorites, they're here to give you choices that align with your taste, budget, and style. Interested in learning more? Please visit D'AmicoCatering.com. That's D'AmicoCatering.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us talking national politics. Jeff, he has been the worst president at saluting veterans and the soldiers at these events where he's supposed to do it. Saturday, for what just seems to be the reason he wanted us to not go, he didn't go to the ceremony at the American Cemetery in France commemorating World War I. Containing the World War I soldiers and for a commemoration of the World War I 100th anniversary, nor did he, when he got back on Monday, go to Arlington and for the official ceremony over there. These are, as you and I have talked about, these are the easy layups of being a president, and he just cannot do it.
First of all, thank you again for your service. Many would not have done that. Many still do not do that. So I appreciate that. And we need to make that at least yearly. It's ridiculous that it's only yearly, but we'll go with that. The concept of, well, it was raining, so Marine One could not land. There's always a backup for rain. Other administration officials drove there. Trump is now saying the Secret Service told him he couldn't drive there. It would take too long. There's I can fly to France, but, oh, gosh, the traffic and the turns and the road. I mean, yes. Did he go the next day in a driving rainstorm and talk? Yes, absolutely. Saw it. I saw them with a big mop getting the water off of the platform. Everybody in the crowd had ponchos. So I don't understand it. I don't know why you go and you don't brave the elements. And again, what you've done then is set yourself up for people to make nasty comments as they not inappropriately did by saying, excuse me, I just got so excited I bashed the microphone with my hand. That's how angry I am. No, they were saying, you know, the people who fought and died there were in the rain and the snow. You couldn't go with a little rain and an umbrella. Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, and for somebody who keeps saying, you know, we love our veterans, we got to do more for our veterans, et cetera, the very minute. Now, again, I'd like to see action as opposed to showmanship. But when there's neither, at least give me the showmanship.
You know, and like I said, any goodwill he did towards showing up then on Sunday when he didn't show up on Saturday was completely erased when he didn't show up at Arlington on Monday. And sure. And so it is amazing. It does sound, we got about a minute and a half here. I did want to touch on it. It sounds like his entire administration's imploding from inside. I think the realization of that he is in big trouble with the House coming in as Democrats, regardless of olive branches, that he's got some real big problems ahead of himself. How much of the administration do you think will be turned over in the next 2 months?
Oh, gosh, probably everybody who hasn't already turned over. In other words, whoever was there on January 20th of 2017, I doubt we'll be there at January 20th of 2019. And the thing that's interesting is you're right. There are a lot of people who are looking for the exits or not wanting to commit to a new position. I heard that the labor secretary was being looked at for, I think, chief of staff. And he said, how about we wait till the Mueller report comes down? Because I may just not want to be a part of this train wreck anymore. So the thing is, even those who want to stay, he's driving out. And there are others who are looking for the exits. I can tell you he's not going to appoint me to anything, but I might be one of the few left in the country by the time this administration is over who hasn't at least been asked.
Well, there is a definitive concern that the people that will only be available and willing to come work for him are like the Jeanine Pereiros of Fox News and stuff, and that it would really become this reality show clown car. And there are people that are saying, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why Kelly hasn't left is because he knows that who's going to replace him.
And there's a part of me that says, fine, let it be a reality show because they won't actually know how to do anything that could cause harm. But then again, that's probably Pollyannish on my part.
Yeah, I think you're right. But then all of a sudden the kid discovers the electrical socket with a knife and all of a sudden you're like, oh, what did we do? We'll have to keep a track of that. Once again, Jeff Stein, you can find his books. The latest book is The Floppy Show. Is the new one out yet or no?
No, not yet. Still trying to find time to write it, but I keep talking on the radio and I don't ever do it.
I hate those jerks. All right, The Floppy Show, available at Common Good Books. All of his other books as well, very good books. They're fantastic Christmas gifts. You can find them there. Also, totallyiowa.com. Jeff Stein will get the Iowa Politics Report up a little bit later on. Thank you very much, sir. And we lost. And Jeff is gone. All right, he's got work.
Drop.
You did. He hit the microphone again? Don't do that. Pageants and next. We are back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.